HBO hit show True Detective has an episode where they go to a revival meeting and showcase different arguments against God and following Christ, as commenters say that they are using the clips to show their family that God isn't real, as we look at the arguments and bring them captive to the obedience of Christ.
The Good Fight Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we're going to be seeing how the enemy likes to use dialogue in different hit TV shows in order to showcase arguments against the risen king. So to discuss this very important topic and bring all of those arguments captive to the obedience of Christ is none other than the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel.
Yeah, Chad, it's crazy. In concert with, you know, these television shows, these popular movies, and so much music that's just, you know, nihilistic in nature, you know, godless, you know, atheistic, we're seeing the rise of crime. We're seeing kids, confused about their gender and offing themselves because we can't use the other word on this, or get, you know, part of this will be canceled. It's just heartbreaking what we're seeing. And these guys know they're promoting a viewpoint which is very anti-God.
Amen. And it is really important to address these things. And, you know, Joe, one of the things this has to do with is discipleship. And when we're doing these shows, it's supposed to be an aid for that, ultimately. And one of the things, you know, Joe, and you helped write a chapter for the book Wrestling with Discipleship, but one of the things we talk about is having a good foundation and having it be on following Christ, but knowing that there are aspects of discipleship that you deal with that are, hey, building some apologetics so that these arguments come, you're able to battle against them. And so that is really, really important. And by the way, we wanted to let you guys know, if you are thinking about supporting the ministry, one of the great ways that a lot of people are doing that is through Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/goodfight. And speaking of Wrestling with Discipleship, you can actually get a PDF of the book if you just become a Patreon. So you can check that out as well. And Joe, it is important for us to answer these things because people have these questions. And a lot of times, sometimes it's through great entertainment, so to speak, that they think, oh, this is awesome, I love this show. And then all of a sudden there's a lot of doubts that creep in, or it's through comedy and some joke that's being told or whatever it is. And if those things go unchecked, then I believe what happens, especially with younger people, a lot of times that maybe you're out and about, no longer under the thumb of your parents, so to speak, and you're in college and you're hearing this, these are the things you're entertained by. And also, by the way, that guy or that girl is really cute that you're seeing all the time at the parties and that you probably shouldn't be going to. Next thing you know, you're there and you have all these questions about God, and it just creates a perfect recipe for apostasy for young people to leave the faith when that happens. And so we want to have these things answered. I think that's important. And if you think that movies and music and everything that we talk about here in entertainment are not used to bring forth arguments against Christ and to push a worldview of its creators, I think you're gravely mistaken. And even the creator of Star Wars is going to disagree with you. Here's actually George Lucas talking about this.
I have a philosophy that we all teach, and we all teach every day of our lives. When I make the films, I'm very aware of the fact that I'm teaching on a much larger scale than I would just as a parent or somebody walking through life, because I have this megaphone. Anybody in the media has a very large megaphone that they can reach a lot of different people. And so whatever they say, whatever they do, however they conduct themselves, whatever they produce has an influence and is teaching somebody something.
Wow, Joe, well, he said it, and it is true. This is a megaphone that is being used. And so when you're seeing it and it's pushing things against Christ, I think we know ultimately the principality error is working through these sons of disobedience.
Yeah, and I actually appreciate what George Lucas has said there in regard to his honesty. A lot of those guys don't want to admit that what they're doing, you know? And if you look more to George Lucas and you look at the Force, which, and his admission that it has its foundation in mysticism and Buddhism and so forth, even admitting that he was influenced by Carlos Castaneda, who was influenced heavily by Satanist Aleister Crowley. We proved that in other things that we've exposed. It's quite interesting that he makes this declaration. But Chad, that fits well into our topic. And I'm so grateful that you mentioned the importance that we deal with these things, because we're called to equip the saints, equip the brothers and sisters in Christ. And 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5, it talks about how the weapons of our warfare as Christians are not carnal or physical, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. So our ministry and who we're ministering to are Christians who are to be equipped so they can battle these lies in the world of ideas, so we can trump the lies of Satan for the truth of Christ.
Amen. And if you don't think these things have any sort of, you know, weight in terms of being used to bring people away from Christ, I'm actually going to read a couple comments before you even see the clip from True Detective that we're going to be playing, because these comments kind of detail a little bit about what we're talking about, saying God, that the God of this world will use these clips. They will use these shows in order to bring people away from Christ. And so let me read this quote. My aunt already was beginning to question religion. I literally showed this clip on this channel right here, and that pushed her over the edge, and she no longer does. And what's interesting, Joe, is misery does love company, and that seems to be what this person is trying to do, is bring them into their nihilistic misery. And someone actually commented who believes in nihilism, who does not believe in the afterlife and so forth, and in a response said this to them: not the right move. At that age, you shouldn't rip the rug up from underneath someone. Let them have their hope, as false as it may be. Existential despair is a terrible thing, and I wouldn't wish it upon anyone, especially the elderly. And another comment said this, Joe: I had an argument with my sister, who's a Christian, talking about how do I do good things if I'm just an accident and had no accountability. Then I asked her, if you found out today that God isn't real, would you start murdering and doing other terrible things? If you say no, then God isn't needed to be good. If you say yes, you're a piece of blank. Now, I don't want to get the cart before the horse, because I want to answer that already, Joe. But it's going to come up in the clip. And I want to play this clip now, because you've kind of seen, wow, well, what are we about to see? Because this thing's going to have arguments, Joe, that what are we going to do with these things? Because yeah, it just seems like watching this clip, I can get ants to leave religion. I can use this rock solid argumentation for no need for the existence of God and, you know, the definition of good, but I digress. And Joe, let's actually play the clip, and then we're going to try to answer it one by one, because that's what the Bible says. In 2 Corinthians, it tells us quite clearly, as Joe already mentioned, that our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but for the breaking down of strongholds. And what it also says is destroying speculation and every lofty thing brought against the knowledge of God, and bring it captive to the obedience of Christ. So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to listen to this clip. There's foul language. We'll obviously bleep that out, but hear this clip, and then we'll go through some of the arguments.
What do you think the average IQ of this group is, huh? Can you see Texas up there on your high horse? What do you know about these people? Just observation and deduction. See a propensity for obesity, poverty, a yen for fairy tales. Folks putting what few bucks they do have into little wicker baskets being passed around. I think it's safe to say that nobody here is going to be splitting the atom, Marty.
So, Joe, a lot of things there to unpack a little bit. I mean, obviously he comes up and he's at this revivalist meeting, and you're going to hear a little bit later, and we're not going to critique the revivalist, so to speak. And I think if you listen for 30 seconds, you'd know a charlatan when you see one. So obviously we're already dealing, I believe, with a straw man.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're dealing with the straw man of, this is the expression of religion, and let's demolish that
expression. Yeah, let's try to find the most ridiculous expression we find and say, this is Christianity.
Exactly. Yeah. And this guy, Tuttle, is under investigation. And by the way, this comes from season 1, episode 3, called The Locked Room. And Joe, the first thing I'm seeing here is this argument that if you're here, you have the propensity for fairy tales and so forth. And obviously everyone here is just too stupid. Anyone who would believe in this stuff, they're just dumb. And that's basically what has been expressed so far as his first argument.
Yeah, Chad, I was amazed when I saw that. I thought, I'm sure it's going over a lot of people's heads that are atheists. And it's like, yeah, those professing Christians down there, which they're just made to look like some weird cult, as though all Christians, you know, can't think and can't do science. We don't have time to get into all the names, but the founders of modern science, for the most part, were all professing Christians. But let's just say this. He's talking about there's no one down there that's going to split the atom, as though these scriptwriters and directors and actors know anything about what it would take to split the atom and could do so themselves. But the irony here is that the man, Ernest Walton, who split the atom, the politically correct Wikipedia says that not only is Ernest Walton a physicist and a Nobel Prize winner, but quote, Walton has been described as someone who was strongly committed to the Christian faith. He gave lectures about the relationship of science and religion in several countries after he won the Nobel Prize. And he encouraged the progress of science as a way to know more about God. Walton is quoted as saying, quote, one way to learn the mind of the creator is to study his creation. We must pay God the compliment of studying his work of art, and this should apply to all realms of human thought. A refusal to use our intelligence honestly is an act of contempt for him who gave us that intelligence, end quote.
You know, it's kind of funny, you know, that you're saying this, because I remember Dr. John Lennox's quote, where he said this. He said, quote, men became scientific because they expected law in nature, and they expected law in nature because they believed in a law giver.
Amen.
And so it's really interesting, and yeah, obviously so arrogant, but what's so interesting to me is what the Bible actually says concerning this sort of behavior in the mind. And this is what it says in that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20, starting in verse 26, says, for consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And what's interesting to me is to see them saying that and professing to be wise, they become fools because they're the ones who have to try to make the explanation for how nothing can create everything. And remember that nothing, one definition given in philosophy is that nothing is the things that or is the thing that rocks dream about.
Yeah.
It's not creating
anything. That's my favorite
anything.
Definition of it, by the way.
And it's just ridiculous. But nonetheless, I found this to be very, very interesting, and I think that's a really great note. And I just want to encourage you guys, we've interviewed him actually on here before, and there is a wonderful book you guys can check out called The Return of the God Hypothesis. We actually have an interview with Dr. Stephen Meyer, but you can also check out the book. So let's actually look at the next clip, Joe.
You see that? Your f***ing attitude. Some folks enjoy community, the common good.
Yeah, well, if the common good's got to make up fairy tales, then it's not good for anybody.
Your sorrows pin you to this place. They divide you from what your heart knows. And there are a lot of good hearts out there. I'm looking out there. I'm seeing a lot of good hearts out there. I see a lot of joy out there.
I mean, can you imagine if people didn't believe what things they'd get up to?
Exact same thing they do now, just out in the open.
Bull. It'd be a freak show of murder and debauchery, and you know it.
If the only thing keeping a person decent is the expectation of divine reward, then brother, that person is a piece of shit.
Well, Joe, there was a lot there to unpack, and obviously you can kind of hear the preacher. I see a lot of good hearts out there, and they're obviously, you know, as we already mentioned, they're obviously making a straw man in terms of what this is presenting. But Joe, the thing that really bothers me as I'm listening to that is, it's so funny that you watch this bait and switch take place, and you see it in debates, right, all the time when it comes to, well, can you be good without God? The question is not whether someone can act and do moral actions that we see as moral in comparison to other moral agents, but the argument is, is there something good without God? And no, there is not. And this idea that he's putting forth that, oh, it's just because of this divine intervention and so forth, it's the same thing that happened in that comment earlier. Like, when that, let me read that comment one more time, because that's actually exactly what was going on in terms of the argumentation being put forth. Because what the argument was stated as was this: I had an argument with my sister, who's a Christian, talking about, I'm just an accident, no accountability. Then I asked her, if you found out today that God isn't real, would you start murdering and doing terrible things? If you say no, then God isn't needed to be good. If you say yes, you're a piece of blank. And Joe, for him to use that word good and then apply whatever meaning he wants to apply to it, as his society, you know, determines that, which I guess would be the only argument he would try to use. But for society to determine that, society can determine the Holocaust.
Yeah.
And society can determine what takes place in communist regimes.
Killing over 100 million people.
Yeah, more so than anything Adolf did.
Mao and Stalin and
Pol Pot and Mao Zedong, as you mentioned, and all of these things. And so, Joe, when I see this, it'd be laughable if people didn't fall for it.
Yeah, it's quite amazing, because you were thinking the same thing I'm thinking. I'm like, well, what's your base of morality? For Hitler and the Nazis, it was exterminating the Jews. For Hamas, it's exterminating Israel. For a lot of people, it's exterminating babies in the womb. That's good. It's gender dysphoria, so forth. It's interesting, Chad, because atheism at its root has no morality. In fact, Dawkins himself, he talked about how if we lost an understanding or a belief in God, the belief in God, he says he can see society just becoming evil. He said that, but his belief system in the selfish gene and so forth was, he said at the bottom, there is really no morality when it comes to biology. But he also stated, quite interestingly, he compared it to a surveillance system in Great Britain, that if you took it all down, people would just be robbing left and right. And a leading atheist, Professor Michael Ruse, he admitted along the same lines as Dawkins, he said, quote, God is dead, so why should I be good? The answer is that there are no grounds whatsoever for being good. He went on to say, there is no celestial headmaster who's going to give you a 6 of the best if you are bad. Morality, he says, is flim-flam. Jeffrey Dahmer said a similar thing.
I always believe the lie that evolution is truth, the theory of evolution is truth, that we all just came from the slime, and when we died, you know, that was it. There was nothing. So the whole theory cheapens life. If a person doesn't think that there is a God to be accountable to, then what's the point of trying to modify your behavior to keep it within acceptable ranges?
Chad, can you imagine if we told people in prison, you're going to get out, but they're brought to believe by other prisoners because they have no understanding of what's really going on. When you get out, though, if you do these same crimes again, don't worry. There's nobody to hold you accountable. You won't have to pay any consequences. What would this world be like in just a matter of days? I mean, it'd be just absolute anarchy, crime everywhere. And that's exactly what the scriptures warn about. But we don't teach morality based on the idea of God so people be moral. We teach reality. There is a God. You ought to be moral. And it's not just, as he said, for your rewards. He's leaving something out. And he said only for rewards. He knows, whoever wrote this knows, that Christians don't believe that you are to do what's right for rewards and living just for rewards. We also believe in something the Bible calls the fear of God, that there'll be eternal consequences in the lake of fire, be eternal separation from God for people that would not beautify the heavenly kingdom, but they would make it corrupt like it is here on earth, and they'll have to be separated from God for eternity. The scriptures teach that as well. And he hit on something. He says, then if people are just moral because they believe in God, well, people like that would be, you know,
pieces of blank.
Well, I thought it's interesting. Isn't it interesting that the scriptures talk about how Paul talked about his life before Christ was dung? And I thought, isn't that interesting? Or rubbish, excrement. It could be translated rubbish or literally excrement. And that's true. Before we knew Christ, and it's true without Christ, as you mentioned strongly, Chad, earlier, you can't really have good without God. And we can't have good in our lives without God by rejecting him. Because Jesus talked about, if the eye is filled with darkness, how great is that darkness? So yeah, you know what? My life before Christ, when I was rejecting him, I rejected him because I wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to be my own God. That's why I rejected God. I wrote songs like about God being a myth and so forth. And guess what? I lived as my own God. I lived a very wicked life. And hundreds of millions of people do that, either because they reject God outright or because they're practical atheists and live as though there is not one, even though deep down they know there's one.
Hey, man, I couldn't agree more. And it is sad to see these arguments, but they're perpetuated. And obviously you're seeing it. People are commenting and people liking it, thinking this is a really good argument and so forth. And it's just not really there. Let's see what else they had to say.
I guess your judgment is infallible, piece of shit wise.
You think that notebook is a stone tablet?
What's it say about life? You got to get together, tell yourself stories that violate every law of the universe just to get through the day. Now, what's that say about your reality, Marty?
Wow, Joe, you know what? Reading the Bible, I guess it just violates every law of the universe. That's what he's saying. He said it on a show, so I have to believe it.
Yeah, Chad, I had a debate, or was supposed to be a debate, with the skeptics of, you know, Ventura County, atheists, Darwinists, and did that with my good brother, Rich Cromwick, and we got down there, and we found out not long before the debate that wasn't really going to be a debate. They wanted to hear us, and then they wanted to basically all debate us and respond to what we were saying. And I went through the laws of science, just the basic laws that atheism, that Darwinism, taken to its nth degree, it just isn't scientific at all. Think of the greatest laws in science that are very observable. You don't even need a laboratory. You just see that there's cause and effect. Well, you have the entire universe. And we talk about fairy tales. You mentioned fairy tales. Fairy tales are, for instance, a prince, you know, kissing a frog and, you know, it becoming a princess, or a, you know, a magician pulling a rabbit out of a hat when there's no rabbit supposedly being there from the beginning. Chad, Darwinism, or just atheism, states, as you mentioned earlier, that this entire universe, there was not even a hat, man. There was just zero and nothing. There was even a magician, that nothing pulled the universe out of nothing. That's ridiculous. That's not scientific. That breaks the laws of cause and effect. And Chad, the law of biogenesis, that living things, living organisms do not emerge from dead matter. Well, that's another law that, guess what? Our Bible teaches us that everything produces according to its kind, and we observe that in nature. Evolution, or Darwinism, teaches that this primordial soup, beginning with dead matter, life came from it. Give me a break.
You know, Joe, I think the biggest thing from all this, one, is to be able to answer all these things. And I know, you know, he goes into religion, dulling critical thinking and so forth. But I have to tell you, from the perspective of someone who comes out of atheism, I was not someone who was critically thinking through these issues. And then all of a sudden, when I came to Christ, I just shut my brain off. I can tell you this. I read 5 books my entire life, coming up from the time I was born until I came to Christ right before my 21st birthday. Now I almost read that a week. And this is all the time looking at argumentation, listening, just like we're here right now, listening to somebody who disagrees with us, reading. I think that I probably read just as much and watch just as much concerning things that disagree with me than things that actually agree with me outside of the scriptures, which obviously our flesh doesn't want to agree with the scriptures, but the scriptures make us to say, hey, you know what? You need to be obedient to them because it's sharper than any two-edged sword, can cut through bone and marrow and so forth, soul and spirit. And it's so sad to see this trope that you see, this lie. And if there's anything that I have found is that that's all it is. It's a lie to be like, oh yeah, all these Christians are just so dumb. They just can't figure this stuff out. They're not critically thinking. It is such a lie, and it is so embarrassing, and it's just not true with any data. And even if it was, like, you are battling against the truth and you are trying to find explanations, and you could talk for 10 hours and try to express to me how nothing created everything and how there is blind, pitiless indifference at the end of it all.
To quote Dawkins.
And guess what? It gets you absolutely nowhere, because there is the resounding gong of truth that doesn't stop. It's there and you're battling against it. And sadly enough, it's embarrassing. And this is the stuff that you hear.
Amen. And we want to encourage you guys that are watching. We love you. If you're following Christ, man, dig deeper, man. Grow more. Press on. If you don't know Jesus, Chad and I were both just agnostic atheists. We both knew there was something, but we rejected the Creator. And we want you to understand that the Christian faith, of which we were among its greatest skeptics, we were convinced for many reasons. But one of the things that really blew both of us away in our journeys is biblical prophecy that's been fulfilled. Atheists have no explanation for that. You can't, because only God can do that. But also the resurrection of Christ, Chad, which we celebrate this time of year because Jesus rose during the spring, right around this period of time. And Chad, the greatest skeptic of all toward Christianity, was probably at that time, he's at least the chief of all sinners, as he called himself, was the terrorist Saul of Tarsus. He was having Christians killed. But then he saw the resurrected Christ who appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he was radically converted, and Saul the terrorist then became, you know, the Apostle Paul. He wrote about half the books of the New Testament and says, if I'm not an eyewitness, I'm paraphrasing now, of Christ's resurrection, why am I dying daily? Why am I constantly jeopardizing myself? Why am I fighting against wild beasts in Ephesus and so forth? If Christ is not risen, you know what I'd be doing? Paul's saying, I'm paraphrasing him, 1 Corinthians 15. He says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I die. But he says, I live the life I live under constant persecution because I've seen the resurrected Christ. And he's not the only witness who sealed his testimony in blood. Other apostles did as well. You don't get better witnesses than that. If you reject Christ, you're rejecting eyewitness testimony of those who sealed their testimony in their blood, along with fulfilled prophecies and many other evidences.
Amen. Turn to Christ right now. He is our risen King. God bless you guys.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show with pastor and author Joe Schimmel and host Chad Davidson, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how they relate to family, culture, and the church. To learn more about Good Fight Ministries, visit us online at goodfight.org. Join our growing social media family and consider partnering with us at patreon.com/goodfight.